So, Jed, this is not the podcast you're looking for.
Star Wars week, man.
Excited.
I am excited. I will say my appreciation of the movies is always less than my excitement. But every time another one comes out, I'm still excited. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
As the dog doth returneth to his own vomit, so does the fool to his Star Wars film.
It's just a guilty pleasure. And I liked the reboot a couple years ago. Rogue One, I thought, was even better.
Okay, sure. Sure.
As far as just, again, popcorn movies. I don't go to Star Wars looking for Academy Award winning films. Never have.
Yes. No. Didn't they win Academy Awards, though, the first time?
Back in the 70s, because it was...
And it wasn't the second film considered one of the greatest films of all time? But that was written by Lawrence Kasdan, right?
Yes. And I think he and his son wrote... Is it this one?
He's involved in one of the ones that's going on here.
I know that Rian Johnson is writing the next trilogy.
I'm sorry, is that how you pronounce his name?
I think it's Rian, isn't it?
It's just Ryan, isn't it?
Oh, I didn't know that. Is it Ryan? I don't know.
Maybe in Jedi land, it's Rian.
Oh, I heard somebody the other day pronounce it as Rian.
It's Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. Ryan Johnson. Boba Fett. That's a weird
his real name.
Name
is his real name is Robert DeFett, but his friends call him Boba Fett.
So there's your Star Wars lesson in directorial name pronunciation?
I have no idea. I just can't imagine a human being going around calling himself Rian.
In all honesty, I don't even know if any other film this guy has made. And I think I saw his name once being associated with this film. So
Looper? Didn't Rian Johnson do Looper? I mean, I think like he's one of those guys, he's one of those directors where like you know his films, you just don't know him.
I don't even know what he looks like, do you?
I think he's pasty white guy, slightly overweight. I'm just guessing because that's literally every director in Hollywood.
I picture him as being somebody with like red hair and he looks rather young.
Yeah.
I have never seen this guy before.
John, are you looking him up on the start of the show? Save that boring stuff for later on in the show.
I'm edumacating people.
Okay. You're educating people about what Rian Johnson
looks like. Rian. Ryan. I didn't even know his name was spelled. I thought it was like Riannne.
You're thinking of Rihanna.
Oh, that's right.
You're Rihanna,
She's a director, isn't she?
I don't think so. Made a lot of money last year, though.
Yeah, she's...
I think she beat out Taylor Swift, didn't she? No.
Did she really?
No, wow. She had more... No, it came out... She had more streams.
Oh, wow.
That sounds weird to say someone had more streams. That sounds like a medical condition.
Competition.
She beat out Taylor Swift on Spotify for streams.
I couldn't name a Rihanna song. Umbrella is probably the last Rihanna song I would even remember.
Isn't there one about New York?
Or is that...
That's Alicia Keys, isn't
Alicia
it?
Alicia Keys, yeah.
All right. Oh, my God, I'm so racist. Right,
Karen is like up in the loft barking down corrections to me. She's like,
you know what? Tell her to leave it in the comment section.
Yeah, leave it in the comment sections for crying out loud. Sound like my dad.
Wait, your dad tells people to leave things in the comment section?
No, for crying out loud.
Oh, okay, that part.
That all part.
Right. Fair enough.
Okay, so enough about that, but I am excited to go. My son and I have had a ritual for ever since the prequels came out back in the 90s of going.
This sounds like a Sith ritual.
It is a Sith ritual.
This sounds like the dark side.
We get our Darth Maul makeup all on. I do know people who dress up, an entire family with their kids in their 20s and 30s that get dressed up.
Wait, who's in the 20s and 30s?
The kids.
Oh, okay. Okay, no, that's sadder. That's sadder.
So, but my son and I have been going to the morning show. The early show. And now, sure. I mean, the early show now is the movies, I think, starting today.
John, I hate to break it to you, but this is technically the early bird special you're talking about.
We're going to the 10 a.m. show. But the first
that's
show
earlier here, than the early bird.
But the first show here is at 2 a.m.
Oh.
Yeah, that's crazy. There's one at 2, there's one at 5, there's one at 8, and there's one at 10.
I saw the prequels at midnight showings. And I'm going to tell you something right now about the prequels. First of all, they're mostly trash. The third one, Revenge of the Sith, is actually pretty good.
It's good, yeah. Lucas redeemed himself with that one. The first two were horrible.
Well, the second one is truly one of the worst films ever made. The Attack of the Clones with Hayden Christensen and falling in love and George Lucas apparently having no idea what that is like.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to convey that. It was like, you know what it was like? It was like if an alien who had no concept of emotion was like, watch some TV shows and then was like, oh yeah, okay, so I understand what love is. Now I'm going to make a film. I'm going to have these two, a man and a woman, show love for each other. And it's so, so terrible. It's one of those things where you want to rip off one of your own limbs and just beat yourself to death while it's happening.
The worst scene in that movie was the last scene where they're standing on that balcony at the end on Lake Como.
I want to correct you, John. The worst scene in that movie is all the scenes.
I remember when I was seeing that in the theater, there were certain scenes that I kind of laughed. I was like, that is just bad. Was that the best take you got? Hayden Christensen is an awful actor. Awful.
Oh, hold on a second. Hayden Christensen's a good actor.
He was awful
with a good director.
Yeah.
He has a very interesting quality. Watch the movie Shattered Glass.
I haven't seen that, so I will check that out.
You will completely change your opinion about whether Hayden Christensen is a good actor. I was blown away by Shattered Glass. I spent the first half hour going, this is Hayden Christensen? Like, this is the guy that's so awful in the Star Wars. But like, Lucas has never been known for acting. I mean, look at Mark Hamill in all the films. It's not the prequels or the sequels, it's the
middle.
Equals? The Equals? So he was Mark Hamill's not a very good actor. He got really lucky with Han Solo. Han Solo is Harrison Ford turned out to be, and was in those films, a spectacularly good actor in that his charisma carries forward. Mark Hamill didn't really have that charisma. So besides the face mutilation thing that happened with the car accident, his lack of charisma is what kept him from doing work.
But I don't know if he made a mint, but he became famous as a voice actor.
Yeah, I know, doing like the Joker and stuff like that. Right. And that's fine. That's a very cool skill that he has, midichlorians or whatever in his blood system. But he just was never a good actor. He never had a good on-camera presence. He was good enough.
Oh, maybe he was. Maybe that was all his acting. George Lucas brought out him that doe-eyed young boy naivete.
Or maybe it was all just special effects, John.
It could have been. He's a clone or a drone maybe. Or a clone.
But I saw every one of the prequels, and I liked them more than everyone I know because I didn't see any trailers for them.
Oh.
So the first time Darth Maul comes on the screen, I'm like, whoa, there's Darth Maul. What is this guy?
Yeah.
And then they kill him off pretty easily, and then he's gone. And then that guy then played the Toad in X-Men, and then no one ever used him again for anything. He gets killed off, and then
he wears a lot of makeup.
You gotta be in the sequels, man. Make sure your character doesn't die.
Yeah, he's unrecognizable because of all the makeup.
Yeah, but apparently the guy who plays him is a martial artist guy or whatever. And like, that was a great actor and everything. But I thought Darth Maul was so cool, and that got me past a lot of the racism that's inherent in all George Lucas projects. You know, like the Asians being the Asian Trade Federation or whatever they called it.
Right.
Sorry, they didn't call it the Asian Trade Federation, but it was clearly Asians that they were. And then like the Jar Jar Binks Rastafarian.
What's up?
Doofus.
Yeah, that has to be one of the all time. That's up there with Howard the Duck. And guess what? George Lucas again.
Yeah.
You know, two really bad.
It's hard to crap all over George Lucas because he did bring us Star Wars.
Yes, he did. And I was one of those people that was so excited when it was sold, and there was a lot of people that still, you know, have an altar around George Lucas. And it's like, thank you that the torch was handed off, because the first, the one that came out 2 years ago, The Force Awakens, that was basically a reboot of the first film.
Yeah.
And it was, and to me, I was looking at that one, was like, this is what the first one could have looked like. And again, technology back in the 70s was a completely different game, and Lucas helped change the cinematography with some of the things that he did, which was fantastic. What he was able to accomplish with stop motion was incredible.
Yeah.
But I definitely thought that J.J. Abrams kind of took it up, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah, but he basically told the same story.
He did. It was. It and was I, very much the same story.
But when you're doing it as a sequel and not a reboot, you can't do it as a reboot. Like, that's the same story. Like,
kind
there's,
of.
There's so many beats that are, like, exactly the same.
Yeah, there was. But I was fine with that. I had no problem.
Yeah, but here's the test. How many times can you rewatch A New Hope? I can rewatch that forever. I tried rewatching The Force Awakens twice. I can't get past the first 15 minutes.
Okay, this is how much of a Star Wars nerd I am. I've seen the New Hope probably between 60 and 70 times.
Yeah.
And I've seen, and that was mostly on VHS after it came out. My son loved it when he was a kid, and it seemed like every weekend we watched it. And I've seen, I saw Force Awakens in the theaters 5 times.
Oof, John. John, you could have just watched that the New Hope VHS. Okay. It was the same thing.
No, that's it. I just love that the aura of the films and the magic, especially the special effects and how they portrayed. You know, it just was. I just love the Star Wars saga. So I'm looking forward to going tomorrow morning seeing it, or whenever last week or whenever you're listening to this. So are you ready for some baseball?
Whenever you're listening to this in a galaxy far, far away. A long time ago, we recorded this podcast about baseball.
A long time ago, we talked about baseball. It seems like it. So this is episode 48, the Torrey Hunter episode.
Nice, Torrey Hunter.
Foul Territory.
One of the great gentlemen of the sport of the modern age.
And I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And Torrey Hunter, 48 is one of the only numbers in baseball that has not been retired by a team. One of the few numbers that hasn't been retired by a team.
Okay.
Interesting, huh?
Great Will the fact. Twins retire Torrey Hunter's?
I would think that's coming soon. I would
Feels
hope so.
Feels like that, right?
Yeah, that would be a right.
Maybe
right
the thing. Angels will.
Speaking of the Angels, let's get into headlines. Ooh. And the shocker, but not to you.
Not to me. I've been talking about this the whole time. Every time we talk about Shohei Ohtani, I said the most logical place for him to go was the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim in Orange County, Southern California, United States. That's the official full name of the Angels, by the way.
And Earth, comma Earth.
No, they don't have to put Earth on there.
Okay, until we become galactic, then we'll
Yes, which is that. Coming soon. Have you seen the cigar-shaped object floating through our solar system?
I have not.
It is not Bill Clinton's love cruise, if you know what I'm talking about.
Is there something going on? I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. One scientist speculates the way it is tumbling through space, it is much like a ship whose engines are no longer functioning.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, yeah, it did a little slingshot around the sun and it's heading back out somewhere.
Huh.
Yeah. Could be an alien probe.
Everybody watch your anus for the next few nights.
Could be the Russians. You never know. You watch your anus.
Be careful out there.
Yeah, stay out of those cow pastures. Stay out of the country.
Stay off dirt roads, yes.
Yeah, very stay important. Off dirt roads. That's the big test.
Very important. So, Ohtani, big news, big surprise.
Yeah, we're a little late on this, right? Because this happened like, whatever, almost
Friday?
A week ago.
Wasn't it Friday?
It was like almost a week ago. I feel like...
Thursday.
Whatever. Maybe. But it's still interesting. We can still talk about him. Yeah. I think he's a fascinating player.
Well, some of the bigger news was that there came back some damage with his ulnar collateral nerve.
Right. But apparently all the teams knew about this, and now MLB is investigating who leaked it.
Right.
Which is what I think you should do. Like, this is personal medical information. I don't want people leaking my personal medical information. Yeah, you imagine how many listeners we'd lose? I mean, we'd gain some, too, because there's always weirdos out there. But my personal medical information, jeez.
Yeah, you would think there are some HIPAA guidelines around that in sports, too.
Absolutely there are. It's all the HIPAA guidelines. I'm not just talking about all the HIPAAs down in Eagle Rock and in Brooklyn with their, craft-brewed coffees. Wait, did you say hipsters?
The hipsters.
The Hippocratic Oath? thou shalt grow a beard upon thine face.
And wear flannel.
Thou shalt wear skinny jeans.
funny.
That's not really an oath if you're saying thou, though, is it?
No, that sounds biblical.
That does sound biblical. I went biblical with my oaths. But oaths, there are oaths in the Bible, right?
There are.
Am I off base
probably
here?
Probably. I think we're
I got a bad mix of caffeine right now. I apologize to everyone listening. I thought that we were going to record earlier. So
you
I'm
got
a
up
bit
early?
On the come down on my caffeine.
Oh. Do you need to take a break and get some more?
No, I think we're just going to power through this and see where it goes. But I think you're going to get a little bit of jet lag Jed coming in here.
Okay, good. That's good. Jet lag is a good thing. So the other, I mean, it was interesting too, because nothing was happening for the first 2-3 weeks of the official hot stove, you know, just nothing, zero,
yeah.
No chatter at all, a couple of little tiny things that were happening. And then it kind of all kicked off with the blockbuster trade between the Marlins and the Mariners, with D. Gordon moving
That's
to center
right.
field in Seattle.
Moving to center field, exciting. And here's the thing. Here's the research on this is basically the reason why they think he can do it is because if you put a fast guy in center field, statistically, even if they have trouble with reading where the ball's going, the speed alone is best utilized in center field.
Mm-hmm.
And you can add a half a win or a win of value to that player just by doing that. Because Dave Gordon is super fast. He's one of the top five fastest guys in the league. And to have him at second base is a little bit underutilizing that speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
So it's a little Jerry DePoto on the Mariners going a little, you know. Also, you know, Robinson Cano is no spring chicken. You know, that guy might want to switch over to doing some DHing here and there, and you bring D. Gordon in to play second base. Pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. But that kind of kicked off some of the bigger names with activity. And then the two big names that we were waiting for were Otani and then Stanton. And then Stanton.
Right. Stanton. Did we cover Otani? So he's going to play for the Angels,
yes.
As I said he would. That's not true. I said that was the most logical.
Right.
I wanted him to play for the Dodgers. But I'm going to tell you, through all of this stuff we're talking about here, the silence of the Dodgers is very strange.
The silence of the Dodgers and the Red Sox.
Well, the Red Sox weren't in on Otani because
not Otani, no. But I mean, just in everything.
Yeah,
the Dodgers and the Red Sox have been.
Well,
not that the Dodgers need to do a whole heck of a lot pitching, maybe. But the Red Sox too. And we'll get to more of that later. But I think that Dombrowski's wants a bat, and so
well,
far,
that's I think that's going to happen. I mean, it seems like JD Martinez is the only choice for him, right? Like, they kind of have to sign him now, right? So, with the Stanton thing. But anyway, so finish up on Otani. So he's going to pitch for them, and he's already their best pitcher, though he might take a little while to develop. I'm not sure if he's going to be start off as an ace. So if you're looking at fantasy baseball value, maybe he's not like a top 20 pitcher. But I think if you're looking for dynasty leagues or league keeper leagues, he definitely is a guy where by next year he could be in that elite top 10.
So top in 15. Fantasy, from the fantasy world, he's primarily a pitcher.
Yes. And then he is going to DH. But I mean, really, realistically, the conversion of his stats, you know, they figure out like, oh, this is how a person did in Japan. This is how they usually do in the U.S. It's not like this guy's Babe Ruth. You know what I mean? It's like, yes, he can hit, but it's not like. And he can hit better than Madison Bumgarner, but it's not like he can hit so much that he's Babe Ruth, because that's, you know, that's so much hitting.
That's would be a lot.
One of the best hitters of all time. So what is he more like? Is he more like, I saw someone compare him to Michael Franco.
Mm.
It's not really glowing praise, but it's still serviceable, you know, like it's a, and so then the Angels have the problem of, well, how do you allocate his time?
Right.
And do, because you have Pujols. That's my favorite. You got Pujols, who is one of the worst position players in the league last year, though extremely clutch. And I normally don't go in for the clutch thing, but the man knocked in a lot of base runners and did almost nothing when no one was on base. Like, it's hard to be that awful, but it was a stark contrast. When someone was ready to come in to score, he became like a different player. And then the rest of the time, he was complete trash, but only being paid $25 million a year. So no big deal.
Only.
Yeah. So the Angels have him. So then there'll be like a DH switch. And I think him being in the American League, we talked about this, made the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
Having him play the outfield just didn't really make a lot of sense, especially if he's considered a better pitcher than hitter.
Yeah, and I think some of the bigger news, you know, obviously after the announcement was made, was not so much about the Angels, but the teams that thought they were in the first position, like the Mariners. There's some teams that were really surprised that they didn't win the trophy, especially DePoto. DePoto put pretty much everything into it. And I saw an interesting commentary about that is DePoto went public on a podcast, a new podcast up here in Seattle about his intentions and what they were going to do. They were going to roll out the carpet. They were going to, you know, do everything they could to win this guy over. And someone made the comment that Ohtani has been very private throughout this whole process. And maybe the fact that DePoto went out there and made this a big public thing and how he was going to go all out for him, that Ohtani was doing it very methodically. And a lot of people think that he had his mind made up a long time ago about where he ideally wanted to go. And then once he kicked the tires, it confirmed it for him. And a lot of the commentary was about trust and a good fit. And so it was all about emotion more than it was, you know, money and environment and apparently has a huge connection with the GM.
Yeah, the GM from the Angels used to be with the Yankees and has been scouting this guy and visiting with him for years. So yeah. it was a big get for the Angels. And like I said, here's the pitch. You get to play with Mike Trout. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so easy. Like, there's a big Asian community, so he's going to fit right in. There's not going to be a really real cultural. I mean, there are parts of Orange County and Southern Los Angeles where it's.
Be careful.
It is heavily Asian. And I love it. Like, it's a great place to go, you know, and they have great food and it's lots of different types of stuff to choose from. But there's a lot there, and that's great for him. That's great for him.
Yeah,
so
it's going
to
be a good.
Because I think that's got to be hard. Like, if I went to Japan to play, I probably would want to be in an area where there were more Americans, mm-hmm. you know, than or at least more. I don't want to say whites, but more English speaking people.
Right.
Anyway, but then I'm a total racist. So
you're a comedian, right? So the humorists have flexibility, you know.
Yeah.
With the racism,
look, it's not that I consider myself superior,
but.
I just considered whites in general to be superior.
That's good comedy. So, moving on? Have we?
Okay, yes. Yeah. Now we can move on.
Now we can move on. So, Stanton was the other big domino to fall. And it was convenient that they both happened within, you know, a day of each other.
Yeah.
You know, so the Stanton stuff started to go down Friday night, was it?
Yeah, Friday night we heard that the Giants and the Cardinals were officially out. That he turned them down. He was like, nope, I don't want to go play for your teams.
I think that was on Thursday. And then Friday, the Yankees really heated up when they realized that the Marlins had lost all leverage.
It's a rough position.
Yeah, they did. It's a rough position. The Marlins kind of got reamed on that deal a little bit. But you know what? Stanton had all the cards, and he played it the way he wanted to, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Look, let's talk about the Marlins for a minute. I think we're... As a public, I think we're underestimating just how bad a situation the Marlins were in financially.
Yes, they were in a really bad situation.
Like, they basically gave away Dee Gordon mm-hmm. just so that the Mariners take the full contract and they got back, what, the...
couple of minor leaguers.
One minor leaguer. I mean, look, any minor leaguers from any system are going to be better than what the... Marlins currently have. So they got one pitcher who might be in the top 100, maybe the top 150.
Well, it shows how bad they are that everybody that they're picking up has immediately risen to the top of the Marlins.
It is. But here's the thing. Chart. It will start to fill up, right?
Like, and it's going
to
take
like a middle-aged man getting aroused for his weekly lovemaking session with his wife. It takes a little while to get filled up.
Takes a week to get there. No, but the Marlins we're a good 3 to 5 years away, really, from a development point of view. And
yeah.
The bigger question is, are the people they're getting going to develop into quality players? Like the Yankees, some of the talk is that, oh, because they have the player development person from the Yankees, Denbo, they know the true value of these people, and these are undervalued assets when, you know, on the MLB charts and the prospect ranking charts, that these guys are actually better than what the prospect evaluators say. It's like, really? Is that how we're going to spin it for Marlins fans? It's a tough pill to swallow for Marlins fans to go through this yet again.
Yeah.
In 15
Well, you guys
years.
Can cry yourself to sleep on your two World Series rings, which Padres fans and Rockies
Mariners
fans and
right.
Mariners and Rays would love to have. But I will say this about this trade. I don't think the Yankees needed Stanton. And I actually think it's a bad trade for the Yankees because what do they have? They have Clint Frazier. Now, where's he going to play? You've got Jacoby Ellsbury. Now, what's he going to do? Do you know Jacoby Ellsbury has like another $60 million on his contract for three more years?
Yeah, it's crazy. And he's right now relegated to the fifth outfield spot.
Right?
It's not good. He's going to wind up going somewhere. They're going to get rid of him.
They got to dump him somewhere, yeah. right? Where they yeah. eat most of the contract. And they...
Because he's not going to be, you know, I would hope that, you know, he's not going to be happy sitting around, you know, being a pinch hitter.
Wow. Can you imagine?
$20 million
a year. Wow. But anyway, so you have Clint Frazier also, who's supposed to be, this is why the Stanton trade doesn't make sense.
I think
they did this when they got Ellsbury. Like they already had.
Right. Didn't need him.
Who's the other guy they have in center? Who's the center fielder?
Gardner.
Gardner. They already had Gardner. Why do you go get Ellsbury? That's the same player, but more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've gone to get Stanton, who, yes, Stanton and Judge together will be awesome. And with Gary Sanchez, it's going to be
Murderer's Row part two.
Murderer's Row. But also, do you need to allocate your resources that way? Like, they still don't really have a starting rotation.
Well, they're going back a little bit to the old Yankees in the sense that chances are pretty good they're going to flip Frazier for a pitcher. And, you know, some of the rumors is, you know, with the Pirates and Garrett Cole. So expect the Yankees to do more. There's going to be more.
They have a lot more work to do now, but they got rid of Starlin Castro. So you get a 6-win player in Stanton and you give away a 2-win player in Castro. So, okay, so you got 4 more wins. That's good. That's the division right there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you still have the pitching problem, you know, and they're trying to stay under the salary. I don't want to say salary cap, but you know, the salary cap. The fake salary cap. Okay, MLB, you tricked me. It's not really a salary cap, except it is. I'm excited to see that lineup because I think that that's awesome. I think it's great for baseball.
The 29 other teams are going to be looking at that as like, well, this is great. When the Yankees come to town, people are going to show up. They're going to want to see this.
I mean, it's great for baseball. Yeah. And even as a Red Sox fan, I just thought like, this is great for Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, can you imagine going from the Marlins to the Yankees?
Of blah.
Oh my gosh.
Empty stadiums.
Oh my gosh. They're going to have more Yankee fans at away games than Marlins had at home games.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Wait
till you see how empty that stadium is going to be next year.
Oh my gosh!
See the Marlins.
Oh my gosh.
I think the Marlins are two years away from a TV contract or a 19 or 20. They get their TV. They're one of the lowest revenue TV contracts in baseball. So that's hurting them. They have yet to have naming rights to the stadium, which is unbelievable that, you know, it's been around now for 4 years and it doesn't have any naming rights. So there's things that they, you know, there is going to be a hangover from the Laureate
era. The Coliseum has naming rights. The Oakland Coliseum had that garbage with the backed up sewage and all that stuff. That has naming rights. And the Marlins Stadium doesn't have naming rights.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of
Jeffrey Loria, man.
Yeah. And I think if people who are true fans of baseball and understand the business side of it as well. So if they have that dynamic going on, they're going to understand that this was Loria's parting gift to the Marlins was to leave them in financial ruins and a minor league system that is just underdeveloped.
Yeah.
So he, you know, the deals that were made, he wanted a win now attitude back when they opened the new stadium, and that was a huge disaster.
Yeah.
It set him on a course of negativity. And then the Stanton signing was, like, really? Did he? I'm happy for Stanton, you know, as an individual to get the money that he did, but it didn't make any sense for him to do that. You know, signing Yelich to a 7-year deal, $45 million 7-year deal, something like that, that made a lot of sense. That was a great deal.
Yeah.
but not Stanton to those numbers. Because and some people have been talking like, oh, he's injury prone. Stanton got hit in the face with a pitch. And
yeah, they're not soft tissue injuries, right? Yeah. I think that's the thing.
So he's
it's more like fluky.
Yeah, he's going to have 4 or 5 good years, and playing in the Yankee Stadium bandbox is going to be a big boon to his HR totals too. So we'll see.
There's some numbers that contradict that and say it might just be a touch more, but still, I think it's going to be a better situation for him. Just because he hits the ball so far anyway,
mm-hmm.
that it was a little bit like, well, you don't get more credit for hitting it
far.
You know what I mean? More farther.
Yeah.
though I did see some numbers. I think Nate Silver at 538 ran it as 73 home runs.
Wow. That's a lot.
Again, that was quickly contradicted. Like, well, if you look at these other numbers, then no. If you just take the pure distances of some fly balls, I think that's how he did it. And I think that was sort of a, well, no one cares about numbers, so let's move on.
Let's move on.
So anyway, what was interesting to me the most was, like, where were the Dodgers in this? Like, this guy would have come to the Dodgers for anything. The Dodgers could have given them, clearly not very much. I think they got an okay return, the Marlins.
Yes.
Considering the fact how much the Yankees of that contract they're mm-hmm. taking. Like, mm-hmm. they got an okay return. There's a couple of lottery tickets and
but I'm really of the mindset more. That they should have said, you know what, we're going to eat $80 million and get some really good prospects in return.
They couldn't do that, though. That's how screwed up the team is financially. They just couldn't do that. They had to just dump the contract and get what they could. And
I think
players being offered from the Giants or just the fact that the Giants could be considered in it, you know that they weren't offering good prospects.
No. And the Dodgers, the big name in the Dodgers, they were in the talks, but the big name was Adrian Gonzalez going to the Marlins. It's like, why would the Marlins take on basically a Jacoby Ellsbury type underperforming $25 million player just to get rid of Stanton?
Well, it would just be for 1 year.
Right. But it's a lot of money. To take on but just for that.
I'm just saying, like, it's just for one. If you're talking about a $300 million contract and the Dodgers are like, well, here, take this guy also. Like, it's just a throw in. I think there was something else. I think the Dodgers didn't want him for some reason. That's what I think.
I think what I was hearing is that their financial numbers didn't make sense. If it was next year, it would have made sense. But this year is not a good fit for them.
But also, I think that, you know, you have 32 different general managers working for the Dodgers.
Right. They all have a different... They took too long.
And I think that Andrew Friedman at the end of the day was just like, do we want this guy? And I think that they didn't. I think that Andrew Friedman is going to always run the Dodgers like they're the Tampa Bay Rays. And they got to the World Series last year, so...
Can't complain.
How is he wrong?
Right.
You know?
And they're still... And that's
he's the out next... there like... He's out there panning for relievers, you know, like instead of just like dropping all the big bucks on everyone, we'll get into that a little bit, the big reliever palooza that went on at the winter meetings. But this is how he's running the team, and it seems to work. I mean, there's Justin Turner and there's Chris Taylor, and like, where are these guys coming from? These aren't top prospects. They're major leaguers who are making adjustments, you know. So I was just surprised that it seemed like the Dodgers were so little, because it just seemed like literally anything Stanton would have approved that trade. There would have been no question. The interesting thing to me about just to put a bow on this, the Marlins also got Starlin Castro.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 2-win player, maybe even more, maybe 2.5-win player, that they can then trade to someone else and get more prospects. Right.
Which they will.
No reason for them to keep Castro. But then we see the full breadth of this, what the return is for Stanton, is when they trade Castro, and we see like, okay, this is what they now have.
Yeah, and he's two years on his contract.
Yeah, 2 years in it, very affordable. Yeah, very affordable.
Yeah. So that we'll see how that plays out. But the other thing that I was going to say is that, you know, so we had these two big dominoes fall by Saturday, and the meetings kick off on Sunday. In all honesty, it's been relatively quiet when
very
it comes
quiet.
To big names, and it was underwhelming to a certain degree. You know, Marcell Ozuna was really the only big name. I guess Eden Kinsler's up there, but not.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to hear, you know, Manny Machado. That was
So Manny Machado is on the block. That's official. There's offers in. They're thinking about it, which I think, you know, the Orioles they have to see that with the Red Sox being as good as they are,
I think
the Yankees.
Yeah, they think that is the reality for them. And Tampa Bay, too. And the AL East is kind of like, this is our time to reboot.
Yeah.
And they would be smart to do that. And, you know, Britain will be gone, too. If Machado goes, Britain will be gone. And they're officially in their rebuild.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen an Orioles team do a rebuild, though.
No, they haven't. They won't use that word at all.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting to see, you know, what happens. And, like, it's almost like the AL East is what it was like back in the, was it the 80s, 70s and 80s, where the Red Sox and Yankees were dominant.
Yeah.
Before they both went into a swoon in the late 80s or mid 80s to late 80s, early 90s, and then started the rivalry back up again. But it's going to be good for, I think, I love the Yankees-Red Sox dynamic. It's just awesome. It's awesome for the sport. Great games to go to. I've been fortunate enough to go to a couple Yankees-Red Sox games, one in Fenway and one, maybe two in New York. A lot of fun.
Yes, agreed.
Let's see, what else?
So Marcelo Ozuna was traded.
That happened yesterday, I believe, yes, right? Finalized yesterday?
And okay return. I was surprised it was a little light, but maybe just because he's only had the one really good season.
Two-time All-Star, though.
Yeah, the on-base percentage the previous year was, I think, 320, and I think that
I think 2 years ago he had a good kind of like what you would consider 3 years ago maybe, because then Lauri was willing to get rid of him because he had a great year, and then he kind of started the year off extremely slow, and Lauri was
2015
just like, was the year.
Was a stinker.
Year. Oh, okay.
No, 2014 was like, oh, look at this guy.
This guy, yeah. And then Lauri didn't want anything to do with him. Tried to send him down to the minors.
Yeah.
In 2015.
Yeah. And then 16 was good, a good year. And then last year was a very good year.
Yeah.
And they didn't get, you know, they got some pieces. And I was surprised at the soft return. But the word is that Yelich is not going to get traded.
And if I'm him, I'm like, are you kidding me? Get me out of here.
I mean, the contract they have for him is an awesome contract. And they have to have someone on their team. You know what I mean? Like, even the Astros kept Altuve
That's true.
They were gutting everything.
And if that truly is the model that winds up being realized in Miami, then that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But if they are bottom dwellers for the next decade, not a good thing. And Yelich's career will have been wasted in Miami.
Yeah. Well, let's see him step up. You know what I mean? Like, I think that they would probably trade Yelich if he was performing better. Like, I think he's done well, but he hasn't quite hit that level that everyone was kind of thinking he would hit.
2 years ago, he had a good season. Last year was a drop-off. But kind of the big endorsement for him, and I don't know if you recall at the World Baseball Classic, he had a stellar performance during that. But the big takeaway from there, from the players that played with him and even Leland, is that he's an all-star character, all-star person, and driven. And he was a big catalyst for the team. So there's those intangibles, which I know a lot of
maybe
people
they
don't
meant
like.
John, maybe they meant that he's going to be the Marlins all-star because he'll be the only good player on the team.
Well, that's for sure. He's going to be,
and every team gets one all-star.
Yeah. So the Marlins still have Dan Straley will probably go. Real Muto is probably going to stay. Bourne will probably stay. Like
is
we
that
said,
is that Jason Bourne or
Boer? Sorry.
Justin Boer.
But did I say Bourne?
Yeah.
I did say Bourne, didn't I?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's the Boer. His identity is Boer. It's not the Bourne identity.
The Boer identity. So it'll be interesting to see. They might as well. If I would, you know, they're not going to be competitive, and they're making it very clear that they're not going to be. So why don't they just continue?
I think they have already made themselves the worst team in the National League East. I'm not sure if they're the worst team in the National League, but yeah.
We'll see. We shall see. I have no hopes pinned on the Marlins anytime soon, but I think this was the right thing to do reposition the team for the future.
Also, they have the debt, man.
Yeah, tons of debt. They have $90 million something like that. It's crazy.
It's a lot.
Okay, what else we got? We've got
Then the Cardinals turned around and traded Stephen Piscotty to the A's. And normally I wouldn't talk about a trade that minor, but it was actually kind of a cool thing where Piscotty's mom lives in the Bay Area. And she's having some health issues.
Oh, that's nice.
I think she got ALS, and so the team made a concerted effort to trade her son to the Bay Area so that he could be around her more during the year, which I think is very cool.
I thought maybe a elderly retirement village traded her to St. Louis for a bedpan to be named later. I guess the big thing that you were talking about a little bit earlier is that the big news for the meetings was the reliever Palooza.
Yeah. Yeah, all relievers are getting easily 50 to 100% more than they would have a year ago. Normally you get like 4 or 5 million a year for some of these second, third tier relievers, and now it's all 10 million a year and 9 million a year. Like, that's what Andrew Miller is making, is $9 million a year.
And yeah,
he's like the best reliever in baseball, or whatever, top three. And now Joe Smith is getting $9 million, and Juan Nicasio is getting $9 million. Because that's the way the game has shifted, and it's just apparently all the relievers lined up, and the Rockies signed a couple more, or they re-signed, right? Didn't they re-sign? They signed Shaw from the Indians, yeah, and then they re-signed...
What's his
the
name?
The lefty, McGee.
McGee, right.
Lefty McGee.
The old...
That's an old baseball name, doesn't it sound
yeah,
like
it
that?
It does.
It's a Lefty McGee coming in. He throws right-handed. Well, once when he was a childie... Anyway, I don't know. I could do a whole bit there, and I'm too tired. But the listener gets the idea. I was going to do a rambling thing about old-timey stuff and Lefty being a righty. Anyway, people get it. They know.
The thing that's still left out on the table is all these unsigned free agents. There's a bunch of names.
All the sluggers.
There. Yeah. Where are they going to go?
Yeah.
I still think you might not be happy with this, but
I'm not. Don't even say it, John.
Eric Hosmer is going to the Red Sox.
Eric Hosmer is going to the freaking Padres, my friend.
We'll see.
That's the word on the street this morning.
But those are the two teams that have been talked about the most for him is the Red Sox
and
the Padres.
I think J.D. Martinez goes to the... I think they need those home runs. There's so few home runs on the Red Sox last year. And where else is J.D. Martinez going
to
go?
The other thing that's been kind of percolating, which to me, I think, makes more sense, is that Zach Greinke is being talked about as a potential trade piece. And if they trade Greinke, they're keeping Martinez. They're going to go all in on Martinez.
They're not keeping Martinez, my friend. You don't get rid of someone who's better than who you're going to get. Plus, I think what was the trade offer? It was like the trade rumor was Greinke for Chu. Chu's the outfielder then. He's the good hitting, good on base, great on base percentage, bad fielding outfielder. They don't need three of those.
We'll see how it all plays out. You know,
you know what, John? We will see. You know why? Because I'm not planning on dying in the next 2 weeks.
Do you have any predictions? You know that you.
I think the Red Sox are going to get J.D. Martinez. I think they might overpay a little bit. I think they might give him 6 and 180 or something like that. And I think that it would be considered a bad contract, but they kind of have to now that they need home runs. Like they just don't have any home runs. It's all doubles. The team is loaded with doubles. They don't have like an explosive capability. You know, the Devers at third might develop into that, but Xander Bogaerts and Dustin Pedroia, who's out by the way, for half the season.
Is he really? Mookie, what happened with
him? Yeah, he's out for half the season. He may come back in May, but it looks like June. And then you got Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr. and Benintendi. These are all like 20 home run guys, 15 to 25 home run guys. They need a 35, 40 home run guy. Mm-hmm. They need that. I think they're going to get J.D. Martinez. Plus, Martinez played for Dombrowski
right in
Detroit. He's the one that gave him the chance to turn into a megastar or mega hitter that he's become. Plus, he gets to DH some, which is probably a better use of
good fit. Yeah,
Martinez's defensive abilities,
and that's a longer term play too, especially with a 6-year contract that he's looking at. That it makes sense that it's an American League team.
But then you know, it's just one of those things. Like the Padres being so strongly rumored on Eric Hosmer, like that doesn't really make any sense. But then you know, maybe they just are like, hey, we need to start putting some players on this team.
From a Hosmer's point of view, it's like if his only two choices are the Royals and the Padres, that kind of sucks.
Oof.
Because they're both going to be rebuilding.
Yeah.
So they're both 3 to 5 years.
Also, wait a minute. If Hosmer goes to the Padres, sorry to cut you off there, John. Actually, I'm not that sorry, but I'm a little bit sorry. If the Padres take it, where does Will Myers go? Back to the outfield?
Outfield, yep.
Oof.
They've already talked about him going back to the outfield.
So you're going to sign a player... You're going to sign Hosmer, who is a bad first baseman. I know it'll be the eye. He passes the eye test though. And he's a bad first baseman. You're going to put him in a park that's going to diminish his power, and you're going to take the first baseman who you moved to first base because he was bad in the outfield. You're going to move him back to the outfield and just take that whatever. You just knock one win of value off that guy right there. So you basically could conceivably spend, say, $150 million to get Eric Hosmer and actually make your team worse.
Yeah. It's interesting the debates that they have on MLB Network about Hosmer, because you have the Brian Kenny camp and the sabermetricians who just were like, this guy is not anywhere near worth what he is being
right. What he's projected. Being Boris'd.
Yeah, yeah, how he's being Boris'd out there.
Yeah.
And he said that the shredder, which is the way that they evaluate players at each position on an annual basis, doesn't even have Hosmer in the top 10 at first base. But, you know, he's being pitched as a top elite player.
Which, $200 million.
Yeah, he's not. There's no way he's going to get that much. But he would play well in Boston because he's an opposite field hitter. He's statistically better to the opposite field.
Now you're just
field.
Being mean. This is just cruel.
Well, to me, it just would be funny if that is how it ends up.
Don't.
But we'll see.
Don't.
We shall see.
I'm going to hate you so much if it happens. I'm going to blame you specifically.
One thing we forgot to mention in all the hoopla around the Angels and how the Angels got so much better is they picked up Ian Kinsler.
That's right.
That's, solidifying the team. The Angels went from being a wild card team to a legitimate contender overnight.
Yeah.
Pretty much in a
week. Yeah, no, they're definitely a better team. I still think they're in a lower level than the Astros, who just...
But they're a playoff team now.
But they're definitely in that, you know, Yankees, Red Sox. I mean, the Central is going to be one of the worst divisions you've ever seen, with Detroit rebuilding, Kansas City rebuilding, Chicago rebuilding. Minnesota might be able to parlay that into if they can keep their success going. Apparently they're in on Yu Darvish. I feel so, not racist, but there's something wrong with my mind, John, that every time I think of an Asian player going to Minnesota, I think of that guy in Fargo who meets with the sheriff at the Sheraton or at the Radisson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it's just this Asian guy in Minnesota. Like, it's just so weird to me. Because, like, it's a very, you know, German area, right?
Of Nordic, very Nordic.
Yeah, very Nordic part of the country. And there's an Asian guy, which not normally and I don't mean it as a racist thing. I don't know what nationalities are, but just for some reason, every time... Remember, this happened when Byung-ho Park went to the Twins. I was like, hey, just like that guy in Fargo. I don't know what's wrong with me, John. What else is there? Can we talk about something else? Because my mind is spinning.
Oh, you're talking about the AL...
Kinsler.
Kinsler.
Yeah, that's AL a solid East. Team. I feel bad for the Tigers fans because, like, hey, maybe the Tigers could trade with a team that has prospects instead of the Angels.
Yeah, but why aren't the Tigers looking to trade more? Go full reload.
Well, Fulmer's apparently on the block.
Would Cabrera be on the block? Is he still?
I don't think you can trade him till he proves he can hit like he once did, because that contract is still. I think there's still
maybe
like
shed
six
a few
more
LBs,
years on that contract.
You know, take it easy on the tacos over the break, and
John, he will never take it easy on the tacos. You can just put that thought right out of your head.
Too much. But apparently, this was the weird kind of rumor or wishful thinking, maybe, is that the White Sox are aggressively going after Manny Machado.
Right. Which is the stupidest thing I've heard all week. In a week full of...
Let me correct that. Manny Machado. I think I said Machado. Manny Machado.
It's Rion Johnson.
Rion.
This is the stupid. They would be basically just giving away prospects on the hopes that Manny Machado likes Chicago and they can re-sign him. And man, or I guess
he's got to be like, "Are you kidding me? Is that where I'm going?"
I guess the move would be this: you trade away some assets, you get him, and then you get to get some assets when you give him a qualifying offer and he rejects it, and you get some draft pick. But wait, what? Like, you're doing like a 3-year play here. Well, why not just keep your good players now?
Right.
I mean, unless they have players in their system that they're trying to get rid of because they think that they're not very good, but other people think they are good, then okay, yeah. I've done that in fantasy baseball where someone like, hey, is this guy available? Like, oh, yes, he is. I was just about to cut him off my team, but yeah, I'll trade him for it to you. What do you want? What do you want to give me? Bag of baseballs? I'll take it.
So let's move away from all of the, I guess one more other thing that came out of the winter meetings. Well, I guess all of this stuff did. Cashman getting an extension in New York,
yeah,
which was kind of a foregone conclusion.
Do you remember there used to be all that talk about him like wanting to go to another team and do his thing and see if he could turn around a team that had like $100 million payroll, mm-hmm, instead of all the money in the world and all the resources and the fame and the glory?
Why would he do that?
But there was talk of that, right? It might have just been more like he didn't get along with... Because like, Theo's done that, right? Theo, mm-hmm, Epstein. He's brought a World Series team to the two most droughted... Is droughted a proper... Probably not.
So he might be going on to either San Diego or... So what's next for
Cleveland.
Theo? Theo.
Cleveland's the next one.
No, I was, yeah, I know, the next one in line. But there are other teams that, you know, Theo could go to. He could go.
Yeah.
I don't see him going to Cleveland, but maybe the Mariners, maybe the Padres.
Yeah.
So to continue his.
Yeah, if he went the Mariners or Padres or Rockies. He would be. He would continue his westward movement across the country.
Right, and then he'd work his way all the way over to Japan.
And no team in Japan has ever won the World Series, right. So that would be
amazing. That would be a heck of an accomplishment. So one of the things that I was really happy to see the announcement I watched on MLB was the Veterans Committee electing two new players to the Hall of Fame. Alan Trammell deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, and so thrilled that he got into the Hall of Fame.
Completely agree.
As soon as the announcement was made, they said, this 20-year, and I'm like, yes! And so I was like, fantastic, because Morris was announced first and then Trammell was announced after that. But Alan Trammell is long overdue,
yeah,
in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I think just didn't have the sizzle,
mm-hmm,
right? Like the panache or whatever to get him over the hump. And he was just sort of like, oh, no, he had great numbers. Like, no, he had great numbers.
Yes.
And I think what happened was he was sort of like the first of the mold of like the good defensive, good hitter shortstop that then by the time it was ready for him to vote, everyone had seen so many of those when he was ready, when he, mm-hmm, was being considered for the Hall of Fame, it was like, oh, well now we're used to seeing this kind of player. So what is that? Why is his, it's not even special,
mm-hmm,
but like, no, in the context of when he played, it was very special.
Yeah. Yeah. Seeing him play is one of the big things about him was his arm and his accuracy, great defender,
yeah,
and turned into a power hitter.
Yeah. Yeah, had some really great peak years.
Yeah.
Should have been a Hall of Famer, wasn't. I don't think Jack Morris should be a Hall of Famer, but I'm well past caring. But my thought is on this, the thing that I took away from this is the Veterans Committee or whatever voting people in. Good. This way we're for sure going to get Edgar Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
We're for sure going to get Mike Mussina, who just can't seem to catch a break with this, the current voting system, but those guys will wind up in the Hall of Fame. And that's to me, that was the best part, yeah, of it. Like I'm excited for Alan Trammell. I think he definitely deserved it. But the fact that like, okay, they're going to look at these guys' numbers again. And when
and
it was
peers.
Close,
their peers, yeah, are the ones that are looking at him. So they're,
yeah,
they're, which is, I think, a good thing. I agree, yeah, with the whole thing with Morris. You know, there is, you know, Morris's rationale when he talked the other night was that at a very young age, Sparky Anderson told him, the most important thing for you to do is pitch deep into games. I need you to be my workhorse. So he said that he, right, had that mentality ever since. He's the most important thing for him. He, right, says, now when you look at metrics, the way that we look at players is that by the time you get to the third and fourth and fifth time around through a lineup, they batter you. And he goes, and I pitch deep.
Yeah.
So my ERA was affected. But then you also have pitchers back in the, you know, turn of
the
century
is,
forward that had Bob Gibson pitched a lot of complete games and he dominated.
Right.
He's a Hall of Famer, deserves to be there.
Right. And the difference is that Jack Morris was doing that, but he wasn't the only one doing it.
Right. There was a lot of
But I will there. Say over his career, I do think he led the league in innings pitched.
Oh, he dominated that,
and
definitely.
I don't think he was a particularly great pitcher.
He was a gamer.
He was a particularly durable pitcher. And the whole pitching to the score BS, I don't even want to hear about that. That's been completely debunked.
Yeah, I don't
that like that. People took like, oh, okay, so you're telling me he pitched the score. Okay, good. I'm going to go into literally every game Jack Morris ever pitched, and I'm going to prove you wrong, and it's been proven wrong. Because it's just, no one does that. No one, like, oh, well, I've got a 5-run lead. I'll let him have a couple runs.
Right. But his epic game, was it 7 in the 91 yeah. World yeah. Series?
Against the Braves.
Against the Braves. That
the 12-inning or yeah. whatever, 11-inning thing. Yeah.
He definitely proved his worth there. And then he won yeah. again. He won with the Tigers. He won with the Twins. And he won with the Blue Jays. So something must be, some mojo's working there for him. And, you know, yeah. I
take the line from someone else, he should be in the Hall of Very Good.
Mm-hmm.
But why not just have the Hall of Fame be the Hall of Very Good? There's already guys in there.
There's
that
a lot of very
good there,
guys
so
in there that should
cares?
Be in there. And guys that should be in there that aren't.
Right.
Last like thing Rose. On the headlines list as we approach 1 hour
yes.
is Bob Costas won the Ford Frick Award. And one yes. of the comments by somebody, I think it was Mike Lowell.
Posthumously.
Was that that is like, how could there
he's
be...
He's still alive, ladies yes, and gentlemen.
Yeah. How could there be a broadcaster's wing in the Hall of Fame that doesn't have Bob Costas in it?
Yeah.
You know, so I you know, Costas is great for baseball. He's a little, you know, he definitely a little bit theatrical and dramatic, but he's a voice of a generation in the same way that yeah. Bob, well, oh, geez, now I'm trying to blank. Jim McKay, not Bob McKay. Jim McKay was back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, Wide World of Sports and the Olympics and stuff like that. Just a
he's very Jack Morrissey to me. Like, like there's a very Jack Morris quality to Bob Costas. Like, I don't particularly enjoy how he calls games, but it's not offensive. And maybe he's just calling the game to the score. You know what I mean? Like, he's doing just good enough, but he's been around for so long and he's called so many games. But I saw someone mention it was like Bob Costas, the radio, the announcing maestro, like maestro, really? No one considers him that. But again, he has the longevity, you know,
and the body of work outside of baseball as well.
But I don't care about that in the context of baseball. If you're talking about Olympics and stuff like that, sports, football, sure. But we're talking, this is the baseball wing of the Hall of Fame.
He may be most noted for, most memorable to a lot of folks for his pink eye during the
yes.
Olympics. This younger generation's probably know him
yes.
more for that.
Yes.
That and the memes that went around
classic.
As a result of that, the pink eye. He just refused to give
but
up
his
seat.
You know what?
Seat.
Like Jack Morris, he refused to come out.
It's true. Give me the ball. I'm going in there. Bob.
He was going the third time through the order and they were clubbing him to death and he didn't care.
He wanted to keep running
out.
It was
brutal.
There.
And this is after HD TV. He could have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those
right.
HD televisions. Those pesky HD TVs.
Well, that wraps up headlines. I think that was our yeah. longest headlines, and deservedly
Boy.
So, given all the stuff yeah. that happened in the past week. Well, how about running through starting nine in honor of Star Wars? Nine
yes.
players with Star Wars names.
You ready?
I am ready.
Starting
I'm excited.
Nine.
I have high expectations.
Okay, so starting nine, for those of you who don't know, I picked nine baseball players who currently play in the major leagues. We should do like a song. It's like, start at nine, start at nine. Jed takes a topic and picks players from the major league baseball and correlates them to the topic.
Let me write this now. Oh, no, I can listen to it later.
Yeah. No, just drop a sick beat behind that, John. That'll be our theme.
I'm not a beatboxer.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Go.
Luke Sky Neil Walker.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Anakin Sky Taiwan Walker.
Okay.
Right? Anakin Walker Skywalker. All right. R2-D Gordon 2.
I love that one.
C3 Pete Kozma.
Another one. Good. Yes.
Jabari Blash the Hutt.
Very good. And he, who did he just go to? The Yankees? Was he?
I think he just went to the Yankees yeah. in that weird Chase Headley trade.
Yeah.
They might. Then the Padres are looking to trade Headley off to wherever. Brad Hand Solo.
Good.
Yeah. More Padres action. Darth Vaderick Holland.
Vaderick. Darth Vaderick.
Yeah, so it's Derek Holland. So Darth Vaderick Holland.
Good.
Derek. Darth Vader, Derek Holland. That's probably the way, right? How about
That's
this?
Good.
Yodanus Suspedis.
This one must have been a lot of fun.
This was
this list.
Amazing, yeah. John. This was amazing.
And how many names do lend itself very easily to humor in this. This
yeah.
is great.
Yeah, it's working out. Princess Leia Adam Morgana. Morgana?
Uh-huh.
Leia, that's what I should have said that way. Princess Leia Adam Morgana.
That's good.
Yeah. Adam Morgan from the Phillies. Anyway. This was an easy one. Shinsu Chewbacca.
It's this. They sound like there's no. They're no brainers, but just to hear them when yeah, it's like yeah, that just sounds great, and it's your delivery too.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Boba, sorry, Boba Artolo Cologne Fett. Bartolo Cologne. All right, that's all I got.
That's great. Those were good. Well worth the wait for, you know, the sequel, prequel?
Yes. Post-quel? That's a sequel. Yeah. Number sequel. 8, right?
Number 8, yes.
Yeah. It's exciting.
It is exciting. I can't wait. It's tomorrow morning, 24 hours from now, I will be 51 minutes into, well, no, take the trailers out. So half an hour into the.
John, do you want to take a minute and just do the math on this again?
Yeah, I just did.
We'll all wait. We don't mind.
I'm just kind of like, I started getting
sweaty.
John, we
have things to do. Everyone listening to this is like, God, I got to get going. What's going on here?
Okay, headlines. Or no, headlines. Extra innings.
Extra innings.
Well, this could go on for a while, but we can nip it in the bud. Six more years of Roger Goodell. Oh, boy. Had a ton of money.
Ton of money. Here's the thing that we know now implicitly or explicitly. Roger Goodell got this contract because the owners want what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority want what he's been doing. He's burned, what, 5 franchises now? Is the Ravens, the Vikings, the Cowboys this year with Patriots. Ezekiel Elliott's ridiculousness. Saints and Patriots.
Yeah.
The Dolphins also got a little bit screwed on that cheeseball investigation about the... Mm-hmm. The offensive lineman guy, the incognito.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, so, but basically they're all happy with what he's doing. And it doesn't matter that the ratings are down. It doesn't matter. But like,
apparently
he's
not
their patsy.
To pay him that much.
Yeah, and he's their patsy, and that's what they want. They want the guy who's going to help distract from all the concussion problems mm-hmm. and all the domestic violence problems and blah, 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 and this whole garbage about him now thinking he can just, you know, arbitrarily punish people because of conduct detrimental to the sport.
Mm-hmm. Well, when he's the story, that deflects a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of, I see from a business perspective, it's a good PR move. But for the rest of the players, it's not necessarily a good thing. The coaches and players, not necessarily a good thing.
Well, the Deflategate thing itself, like just what that covered up at the time, like I know everyone lost their minds over the, and then it turned out like, well, actually it doesn't look like anything was actually
but
done.
The money that was spent on that was just ridiculous.
But the attention that was taken away from the concussion studies that were being released at that time, no one cared.
Mm-hmm. And comes out about it and it got nothing.
No one cared. Yeah, no one cared because what do they care about? They care about these salacious, whatever. It's the modern world. This is how people are now. They're easily distracted.
Sounds very political.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to get too into that.
Carson Wentz out for the season.
What a bummer. I'm not an Eagles fan at all, but they were having a great season. This looked like it was going to be, you know, they're at least going to the NFC Championship, and then to lose your quarterback.
Yeah.
And like, brutal. That's a tough loss too, because there's no guarantee he's going to come back next season at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And just a great young player. And
stud. ACL. He was an MVP candidate too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but they have a decent backup in Nick Foles. He's been to this rodeo before, so we'll see if they can push on without.
But
him.
I don't think that in the current game, a backup quarterback wins a Super Bowl. I think that the days of like just having a good signal caller, like mm-hmm. the Heath Schulers of yore,
right? The Trent Dilfers.
I don't think the game is that way anymore. I think you need a good quarterback.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out with his replacement and the what's about to happen this weekend with Aaron Rodgers coming back.
Right.
Because if Aaron Rodgers comes back and they had the Packers almost blew their season, giving the woeful Browns their first win of the year last week. But they win, and now Rodgers comes back. They run the table.
They were down 21-0.
I know. They, if they run the table of the rest of their games, they're going to get in.
Yeah.
And they will be it's amazing. Hundley's done a serviceable job. He's gotten better every week. He was horrible in his first start, but he's gotten better, which is, bodes well for, the next time he has to step in and do that or gets flipped somewhere else down the road. But Rodgers coming back, it will show that test is that when a good quarterback is at the helm, a team can go much further than with a serviceable quarterback.
Yeah. He's going to be chucking those Hail Marys.
Yeah,
man.
We'll have to count how many Hail Marys he has in the last three games of the season. That'll be interesting. It'll be good. Last thing on the list is the Roy Moore losing in Alabama.
Yeah, so we've talked about politics a little bit over the last, year and a half. We've been doing this podcast. And I think we've been pretty clear we don't really take a Republican or Democrat side. But I was really pleased to see Alabama vote not for this guy. Mm-hmm. And look, this guy may be, this was a bad candidate. And I think that the Republicans and Democrats need to stop putting out bad candidates and then just being like, no, we decided this is who we're putting out and this is what we're stuck with. The accusations against this guy and his inappropriate behavior 30 years ago was bad. But the other stuff that this guy was guilty of that we know, which is extreme bigotry and religious and sexual orientation bigotry, has no place in the United States Senate, regardless of whether the people of the community, some of the people of the community agree. And I know a lot of people vote Republican because of issues like abortion and stuff like that. And they just go like, well, I don't want to have a pro-abortion senator. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If all the senators were Democrats, the abortion thing would not significantly change any time in our lifetime. It's been sort of resolved, and there's going to be little tweaks here and there, but you just don't need to worry about that. Mm-hmm. But this is the line that they go in is like, well, I don't want to put an abortionist in the Senate.
Right.
Well, it's, and fair enough.
They're playing to values, and they know that they're going to get people to vote based on their values.
Right. And fair enough, but there's a certain point, and I was so glad to see it, where even... And because I'd never seen anyone do this before, where Republicans were coming out and saying, like the other senator in Alabama said, I'm not voting for him. I voted for someone else. Mm-hmm. Good. Because this guy was a trash candidate who was spouting stuff that was just so gross about gay people and people of different religious beliefs and just awful, awful. I mean, I think this was actually a big win for Republicans. Because I think to have this caricature running around Washington would have been awful for Republicans long term. Mm-hmm. And so the Democrats get a seat that they'll lose the next time there's an election. But for now.
This was a message, a statement. Exactly. Which is a good one, thankfully.
I think there's a lot of people reading into it like, look, hey, in this country now, anything can... Like, no, I think what we're saying is we don't like pedophiles. We're not going to vote for
pedophiles. The thing about that, though, is that I find interesting is that so many people are celebrating this and that they're thrilled that America spoke out or Alabama spoke out against this. It's like he barely lost.
Yeah.
I mean, barely lost by what, 20,000 votes, something like that?
Yeah.
And
how many write-in
million?
Votes were there? 25,000.
Yeah. And 1.3 million people voted. That's a huge turnout. Awesome turnout. A good thing. And the black vote came out and is really the reason why he lost.
Yeah. You mean the disenfranchised black voters who get voter suppressed because they're forced to get identification?
Well, the numbers are crazy when you look at it as the people who voted. It was white men and women voted for Moore, and black men and women voted for the other guy.
Right. But also a significant number of white men and women did not go out and vote. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of like, the pocket veto, the old, we're not voting for a Democrat because that's against our principles, but we're not voting for this piece of garbage and look, if you know Roy Moore and you think he's not a piece of garbage, that's fine. You're a piece of garbage. This guy's a piece of garbage and he had no business being up for the Senate and being that close to being a United States Senator and bringing that garbage to Washington.
I hear a puppy.
That's the puppy. The puppy just woke up. What a great place to end the show.
Yeah, a little puppy.
Anyway, I thought it was a great moment for both sides of the aisle in Alabama.
So let it be written, so let it be done.
Yeah, whatever. It's good for America.